Blog Talk Radio.
Pleasant good evening to our listeners. We are Answers for the Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio for Friday, January the 7th, 2011. My name is Bill Posey. I'm your host for tonight's show. On the line with me is my co-host, Joe Marotti. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great this early 2011, and greetings in Jesus Christ to everyone out there.
Yes, amen. Joe and I want to wish our listeners a happy new year and one that is filled with the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight is part five of our series that's titled The UFO Phenomenon, The Real Story. Tonight, Joe, we're going to discuss alien abductions, or CE4, close encounters of the fourth kind.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe and I would like to begin our show tonight with a scripture passage, and we're going to be reading from the book of Philippians and chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says this: If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort with his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Joe, I'm going to ask you to comment on this passage of Scripture, and in particular verses 9 through 11 that talk about Jesus as being the name exalted above every name.
Well, you know, Bill, as I was reading this passage, I was harking back to childhood, and I'm kind of hearing an echo in my phone here. So if I'm a little hesitant, so hopefully the audience will understand. I have no idea why this is going on, but it's going on.
I'm hearing it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll bear with it. It's one of those things. Now I'm not hearing it. Whatever the case is, it is what it is. I was reading this passage, and I was thinking back to childhood, and as children, we learn some words at a very young age. Obviously, we learn dada and mama, and certainly we learn no, and a very close second or third is the very first question that most of us will ever ask, and that's why. And I think it's a question that most human beings continue to ask throughout their lives. And so the question with regards to this passage is, why? Why has God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name? Why will every knee bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? It's a valid question, and it should be asked by everyone who reads this scripture. The answer is given in this passage itself. Jesus Christ, though in the form of God, or in reality God himself, that means the word form doesn't mean just in the appearance of God and not really being God. What it means is in reality, God himself, he did not grasp onto or cling to his divinity, but he emptied himself of equality with God by taking on the form of a servant born in the likeness of men. The question is, again, well, why did he do this? And rather than my answering that question from my own mind, I would rather let Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 18, answer that question. And here is Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 18. Now, it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear and death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. And the key verse here is verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He was our high priest. He represented us before the Lord. He made propitiation. That is, he satisfied the wrath of God against sin for us. He did for us what none of us could have done for ourselves. And in this way, he is our high priest. And again, back to Philippians, it comes down to humility and obedience. Now, we've just established from Scripture that Jesus Christ is equal with God. He is Emmanuel. We've just celebrated Christmas, and we sing that song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, which means God with us. how did he ultimately demonstrate his humility? Through his obedience to the Father, to the point of death on a cross. We are told in Scripture that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus demonstrated this in the most extreme way possible. His obedience led him to Calvary's cross, the cross where he would take away the sins of the world, the cross only he could have borne, because he was the Lamb without spot or blemish, the perfect sacrifice and perfection. Perfection was required by God for a once-for-all sacrifice. Please catch that, a once-for-all sacrifice, not the atonements made by imperfect priests on the annual Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel. No other in history can make this claim. No other individual. No other in history was declared by the Holy Scriptures to be the Son of God. No other in history would be worthy to make this sacrifice, let alone be obedient to its demands. So this is why God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And it's why every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Well said, Joe. Well, this scripture passage in Philippians is going to unfold even further tonight as we talk with our special guest on tonight's show. And our guest tonight is intimately involved with people who have testified to being abducted by aliens. And he's going to tell us tonight just what happens when the name of Jesus is used against those who will be abducted. So, Joe, why don't you take a moment here and introduce our guest tonight?
Joe Jordan is the MUFON State Section Director for Brevard County, Florida. Joe has been involved in the field of ufology for 16 years, becoming a MUFON member in 1993. And in 1994, Joe co-founded CE4 Research Group to expand his research and document the findings of his work with the alien abduction experience. And at this time, we'd like to welcome Joseph Jordan to Answers for the Paranormal. Joe, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. And that was a fascinating lead-in to all of this, and I hope you don't mind if I quote you guys on all of that. I can sure use it. You did a great job.
Absolutely. Anytime, Joe.
Well, we praise God for that.
Amen. Amen.
Joe, it really is a pleasure for us to have you here with us tonight. We really look forward to what God has laid on your heart, and we know a little bit about what your ministry involves, but we're going to get even further into that tonight as we ask questions of you. So if you're ready to go, we're going to get started.
Sure, I'm ready.
All right. Well, here's the first question I have for you tonight, Joe. We've heard this title, MUFON, before, but not sure that all of our listeners are familiar with that. So perhaps you could elaborate on what MUFON is and then the second part, how you became involved investigating UFO sightings.
Okay. MUFON is an acronym for Mutual UFO Network. And MUFON is the largest grassroots investigative organization in the world today. There have been other ones through the decades that have been involved, you know, doing investigations. APRO, NICAP, some of those names might come to mind for some of you that have a history of the UFO phenomenon. And, you know, they've gone by the wayside over the years. But MUFON was founded in 1969, and it's been ongoing ever since. And they are compiling a database of UFO sighting investigations and other types of investigations that involve the UFO phenomenon, trying to find the commonalities between the different types of sightings and trying to find an answer to the actual UFO phenomenon. And actually, MUFON's mission is the analytical and scientific investigation of the UFO phenomenon for the benefit of humanity. And you can kind of take that one a couple different ways. And just to set the record straight on the bio that you introduced me as a state section director for MUFON, I'm no longer a state section director. I'm still a field investigator for them and still an active member. And I have been, you know, going on, quite a while, since 92, 93. And I do support them. They trained me well in my training to do investigations. And I'm very thankful of that. And they helped me set a precedent on how to go about doing investigations into the UFO phenomenon. And I first got interested in the phenomenon back in 92. Just by picking up a book that I had looked at going on vacation. And this book caught my interest, and being an avid science fiction reader when I was younger, the title of this book is what caught my interest. But when I turned the back of the book over and read what the book was about, it said that it was not science fiction, but actually investigation of an actual incident that happened in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. And the book was UFO Crash at Roswell. Well, because this book was making the lines fuzzy between reality and fantasy for me, I had an interest to go ahead and read this book and finish it. And it opened my doors to exploring the UFO phenomenon. It wasn't something I studied or had even on the, you know, on thought on my mind up until that point. This book was my introduction to the phenomenon. And I was curious, and I wanted to know more, and it piqued my interest. And through a number of different acquaintances in the next 6 months, I became involved with people who were members of MUFON, and they introduced me to the investigative side of all of this from the UFO perspective and UFO phenomenon. And I thought, you know, that would be interesting to actually be involved in trying to uncover what this is instead of just sitting back and listening to everybody else. And I became a MUFON member, and they told me that they could train me up as a field investigator, which I went through a training with some people here in Orlando area, and then became a field investigator, and then they introduced me to the idea of actually taking over as state section director for Brevard County, where the Kennedy Space Center is located, and running a group of my own over here. Because the way the organization is set up, they have all the way at the bottom, they have their general members, which are financial support to the organization. And then you have your field investigators, which actually are the ones doing the footwork on citing investigations when the reports come in. And then you have state section directors. The investigators work under their state section director for their county. And then there's a state director who controls that whole state, and then there's an Eastern Director of Investigations, Western Director of Investigation, and then there's an International Director and all the other members that are involved to make this organization work. And I think it works very well. When somebody calls in a report, no matter where it is in the country, they can funnel that information down into the hands of an investigator very, very quickly because of the technology we have today. So when you make a report online or you call their hotline, it can get right to a field investigator to come and talk to you very quickly. A decade ago, a little bit slower, but now I'm seeing that it's able to be done very fast. And instead of doing 5 or 6 pages of investigation report, now you can do it actually online, and it, you know, works pretty good. So things have moved quite a bit over the years. But that's my introduction into MUFON, and I have supported them ever since, and I still do.
Joe, in response to your answer to that question, would you say that MUFON has an agenda, and also, what is the condition of MUFON today?
Well, they've done some restructuring over the past couple of years. They've been through a number of international directors in the decade that I've been involved. I started out with Walt Andrus, who was the original founder and director back when I started in 92 and 93. And I'm on the fourth one just in the decade that I've been here. And Clifford Clift is the new international director, and I've had a chance to talk with him a couple times in person. I talked with him just this past summer in Roswell when we were there. And very nice guy and very professional, and I think he's really going to take this organization by the reins. And do they have an agenda? I think their agenda is to find out the truth of all of this. And, you know, there might be some limitations in the way that they look at it. They might not be as open as they say they are, from my perspective. But I do honestly think that they're trying to find answers to this. But I think they're coming at it. I think a lot of them in the organization are coming at it trying to prove a preconceived idea.
Right.
Which I didn't when I got into investigations. I mean, I started out as a total agnostic secular humanist. You know, I didn't believe in anything. I believed in going to work and making a living and supporting, you know, and paying the bills and doing what needed to be done, you know, and having a good time. But, you know, I've had my views changed. My perspectives have changed on how I've been able to view this phenomenon over the years.
What was the... What would you say that the preconceived idea was of MUFON?
Well, I do believe the preconceived idea is there actually are extraterrestrials.
Okay.
You know, there are other races in the universe that are visiting here and leaving circumstantial evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no smoking gun, otherwise we wouldn't be having this show.
Right. Joe, with regards to the UFO phenomenon, would you characterize mankind's interest generally as hysteria or commonplace? Because there are a lot of cable shows that are dedicated to ufology, and there have been so many books written about the possibility of UFOs and what they might mean. So would you regard it as presently hysteria, or is it something that, well, you know, we've kind of thought about UFOs in the past and we're still thinking about them, and it's not, you know, it's in our minds, but it's not really pressing. So would you think of it as hysteria or just pretty much run-of-the-mill paranormal stuff?
Well, I think with the larger amount of the population, it's pretty run-of-the-mill part of the rest of the paranormal stuff. It's a curiosity that people have, and people have a curiosity for numbers of different things. You know, and curiosity seems to be something that is inherent in us, and something catches our attention and we want to know more about it. But there are, I have come across groups where it's become such a fascination and an obsession. And, you know, both exist at the same time. But by and large, I think that this is a commonplace curiosity. I think it's increased. I think it's over the, you know, I'm telling you, it's changed in this past decade since I started in looking at it now. The sensationalism that's involved with all of this is just phenomenal. I mean, Hollywood's taken advantage of, you know, some really powerful movies on the subject.
Yes.
You know, whether it be fear-based or knowledge-based or, you know, just curiosity-based. But, you know, there's some major shows. I mean, there's almost a dozen of them coming out, sci-fi or fantasy, this coming year.
Oh, alone. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah. I have one more question, Bill, before it kind of relates to the first two. With that in mind, obviously in this country, in the United States, we have such a sophisticated communication system. We have so many outlets for media, and that is really what fuels what exists in the UFO community and the interest in UFOs. Now, in your understanding, Joe, does interest in UFOs differ from country to country and culture to culture? Or do you observe generally a worldwide fascination with UFOs?
I think it's almost worldwide. I think there are some countries and some cultures who do not pay much attention to this. Ones that are more religiously strict, I would say, probably don't pay much attention to this as the rest of the world does. And I see it across, you know, continents, across nations, across cultures, that this phenomenon does have an interest with people. It's something that, because the world has become so much smaller through technology and media, that everybody's pretty much has had an opportunity to be exposed to it, where they might not have been 30 years ago.
Bill, do you have something?
Yes. Joe, as you were working with MUFON, and you were involved in investigating UFO sightings, there was a point that you began to transition into studying CE4s. Could you tell us how that you transitioned into that and what led you into what you presently do with CE4 research?
Sure. Back in 92, when I first started, the main crux of the investigative part of MUFON was looking at the nuts and bolts aspect of the UFO sighting phenomenon. They're looking at all types of reports that were coming in, and some involved physical trace marks and things like that. But by and far, it was looking to try and investigate the sightings themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together a very powerful group of investigators. We worked very close. We became very good friends. We could really rely on each other and trust each other. And we did our good share of sighting investigations. We made ourselves recognized by the newspaper and the other types of avenues that people would want to share a report, whether it be through the sheriff's department or police department, because, you know, they didn't really want to follow up on that stuff. And if we made ourselves available, they'd let us know. And then we'd take care of it and go out and investigate it. But we did this for a few years. And one of the things that we were also doing at the time, because as a state section director, you're asked as one of your duties to hold a monthly meeting, public, free monthly meeting, to where you can share with the public some of the work you're doing and gain the interest of people in your area and get them interested in MUFON and hopefully have them become members so they can help support the organization, whether they become investigators or not. MUFON puts out a very nice monthly journal that comes out every month. You get 12 of them a year for your membership, if that's all you're doing is becoming a journal subscriber. And that right there gives you a lot of information on what the organization's doing, a lot of cases that they're working on. They do book reviews and different types of articles in there, you know, to keep your interest. And that's what the meetings were about, to introduce people to MUFON and to the subject of UFOs. And I went to my local library and found out that you could reserve a room free of charge, all the video machinery you needed to show videos or do presentations were right there in the library. You know, this was perfect. So your listeners that are listening out there, if you ever want to do any kind of meetings of any sort, go to your library. It's free. You know, it's a public thing. Long as you
not
don't charge.
Not much free today, Joe.
I know. But as long as you don't charge and as long as you don't, you know, restrict anybody from coming in there, as long as you're open to the public. Well, let me tell you something. When you put up a sign outside of a door in a library that says UFO meeting, all welcome, you're going to get some very different people come into those meetings. Far different than I ever expected. But I was warned about this from my assistant state director at the time, who introduced me to what it would be involved to become a state section director, and he warned me. He said, you know, I want you to be careful about the types of people that come to your meeting. He said they can take over a meeting, they can be interruptive, they can bring in avenues of interest that aren't, you know, productive to the MUFON mission. Mm. And I didn't quite understand what he was talking about, and he finally said the word, you know, New Age people. I had no idea what he was talking about. Mm. I'd never heard that word before. So I said, okay, you know, not a problem. Well, it was a problem, because these people started coming in, and they had stories that were just off the wall.
Mm.
But as I listened to their stories, I saw a connection with the UFO phenomenon. No matter how bizarre their stories were, there was still a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to thinking, you know, if these people have a connection to this phenomenon, why would I not listen to what they have to say? If you're openly objective in doing investigations, wouldn't you take all information in to
sure.
be able to make an objective perspective of this? So I started listening to these people, and not only listening to them, but listening to people who claim to be in contact with these so-called aliens.
Mm.
Whether they were what is called contactees who received messages, or whether they were abductees, who people were having abduction, so-called abduction experiences by these extraterrestrial entities. So there was a lot of different information coming at me besides just citing investigation information. And I had to look at all of this, and the more we looked at it, the more we realized, and I talked to my investigators about this, I said, guys, you know, we've been doing sighting investigations and getting nowhere. And MUFON's been doing sighting investigations for 20-some years and have gotten not much farther. And I said, this is like chasing your tail.
Mm-hmm.
We never get to it. It just keeps itching, and we can't scratch it. And I said, these people are saying that they're in contact with the entities behind the UFO sightings that we're chasing.
Hmm.
Wouldn't it make sense to talk to the people on the front line?
Absolutely.
Which these people seem to be. So we focused on what is this abduction experience, where can we find the information to research it and get ourselves up to par on what it's about. So we went and got all the books and videos and everything that we could find from some of the top researchers in the world at the time on abductions. John Carpenter, John Mack, you know, Bud Hopkins, Whitley Strieber, you know, all the big names, and we consumed everything that we could, because as we started talking to these people, we also realized these people were hurting.
Mm.
They were very distraught people, and they were coming to the meetings to share their experiences because they thought that we, being UFO investigators, would have answers to their experiences and to their problems. But we didn't.
Mm,
nobody
yeah.
did. Not mm. even the top researchers in the world had answers, as we found reading their information. But we did want to be educated well enough, or the best that we could, so that we wouldn't cause any more damage working with these people. We didn't want to cause them any more harm. So we had to work with them very delicately. And that's where we
right.
started into abduction research. And at the time, the only researcher that I remember actually working at all with abductions for MUFON was John Carpenter out of Springfield, Missouri. And there wasn't actually a basis for how you do an abduction investigation. You know, they weren't set up for that. This,
right.
There was no nuts and bolts to this, like MUFON was founded to do. You know, there wasn't much scientific investigation you could put onto it, you know, as you do a normal sighting investigation where you're looking at altitude and distance and time and exposure of camera lenses and all that kind of stuff you can get into scientifically. but the abduction phenomenon was different. So we needed a way to be able to record what we were doing. And MUFON didn't have that ability at the time, and they really still don't. So what we did is we separated ourselves, not completely. We were still MUFON members. We were still MUFON investigators. But we formed another group that we could do our work under and then always make it available for MUFON to see if we were asked to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they still able to do that, Jeff?
What's that?
Are they still able to do that today? To look at your...
Look at my stuff?
Finding?
Oh, yeah. My stuff's offered to anybody who wants to see it. As a matter of fact, I've got most of my work up on my website. You know, it's been public ever since I started this. You know, I didn't want to be hiding anything.
Right.
And But we formed a group, and the title we picked was CE4 Research Group. And CE4 stands for Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind. And that was a term from Jack Vallée that was established, you know, for CE1, CE2, 3, 4, 5, you know. And CE4 deals with the abduction experience. And that's when we founded CE4, and we started doing abduction investigation and research. Now, at the same time, I will let you know, I told you I started out in this UFO investigation process as an agnostic secular humanist.
Yes.
But during this time period, with all of these different people coming into the meetings and exploring all of these other types of information, I actually opened another door, and I opened that door into the New Age metaphysical belief system by exploring it. And I not only was exploring it, but I was claiming it and sharing it with others.
Wow.
And I was given a different perspective on what I was doing compared to the perspective that I started at. So I had different set of glasses on that I could look at this perspective through. The attraction of the New Age metaphysical realm was coming into this, you know, in my early 30s, mid-30s, mm-hmm. and looking at this and not having a belief in God, but had this hole inside that I just couldn't quite fill. And I was always looking for something to fill it with, whether it be drugs or alcohol or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever would fill it, a good time, you know. But nothing ever really did. And then listening to these people, they were offering something that sounded very spiritual.
Mm.
But one thing that I recognized compared to how I was raised is that they were offering a spirituality without accountability.
What do you mean
That's
by that?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, as a Christian, we're responsible for our actions.
Mm-hmm.
There are consequences to them. And we're given a guidebook, God's Word, to live by the right way. But in the New Age metaphysical realm, it's all about life's experiences. It's a spirituality without accountability. You don't have to be accountable for the things you do.
Mm.
It's a works-based religion because to reach what they try to achieve is what is called enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And that you come on to this quest of enlightenment. This is what you this is this yellow brick road that they put you on, and you're constantly chasing this carrot called enlightenment, and you can never reach it, because to reach this enlightenment, it's through gaining knowledge, secret knowledge, Gnostic knowledge,
right.
And it's always something new that's being thrown at you. As soon as you capture one, all of a sudden there's another one, and it never ends. So it's a constant works base that can never be achieved. So there's all these experiences, no matter whether they're good or bad, is part of what gets you on that path to enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no accountability for what you do. It's all part
right.
of life's experience. So that was very attractive, that I could
yeah.
be the person I had been, but still be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't that really, isn't that really a microcosm of the way the world acts in relation to accountability? We really want to be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and without ramifications, without consequences. It's just a perfect picture of mankind's shaking his fist at God and denying his existence and
God.
Yeah, it really is. And New Age philosophy really is such a common theme when we do these shows. It is such a common theme within the field of the paranormal, almost without exception, that the people that are involved in these things have some sort of tie to the New Age. And I think you really did. You did hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you said it is without accountability. Man really does want to have this this cloak of religion that he puts on and wants to look religious, but at the same time really doesn't want to acknowledge that someone else, God, has set forth what is right and what is wrong, has determined what is sin and what is not sin. In our attempts to make ourselves God, we really do create all these religions that you believe what you want to believe, and that's fine for you. It doesn't work for me. This New Age philosophy works for me. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine, but it works for me. The question always comes back to, well, is that reality? Is that reality? And I think, Bill, that you have a good question as regards to where Joe was at this point in his life and what changed his life at this point.
Yeah. Joe, you mentioned that your belief system changed from agnostic into New Age philosophy. What event changed your views on the subject of ufology from New Age to Christianity?
Well, in 1996, we had a lot going on. I was, besides working full-time and helping raise my son, I was also involved in, you know, all the research stuff that I was doing, and we had a lot of different events happening at one time, a lot of investigations going on at one time. And there were a couple particular cases that we were working on that were really giving us a lot of trouble. There seemed to be something very dark to these experiences that these people were having, and they were actually affecting us as investigators in a way that we had never recognized before. And actually, we weren't recognizing it. One of my investigators, I had a female investigator because of working with the abductees, most of them being female,
mm-hmm.
that were reporting the experiences. A lot of stuff that comes out of their testimonies of their experiences are very sexual in nature.
Yeah.
And it was always more comfortable for them to share what they needed to share if I had another woman present during the interviews. And it's
mm-hmm.
a lot safer that way doing investigations, believe me. And
sure.
This woman that I had working with us as helping us in this part of the investigations was actually my girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she first started coming to my meetings. That's how we met. She saw an article of me in the paper. I had a good fellow reporter at the Florida Today here named Billy Cox. He's still a good friend. And he did a lot of articles. He had a fascination with UFOs and would do stories on it. Being that I was a local, you know, investigator guy, he would include me in his stories in the paper. So people got to know me throughout the county. And she saw that we were having these meetings, and she had an interest, and that's how we met. And I got her involved with helping out in the investigations once we started dating. And she was into some New Age practices. I would call them New Age practices today. Wasn't quite sure if they fit in at the time, but now I can look back and see that they were. But she was also a professing Christian. But she never really pushed her Christianity belief on me. And I think because she also had her one foot in the New Age camp. And she never pressured me on the Christian side of it. We did explore it, but not to try and convince me of Christianity, just to look at it. And while we were working on these two particular cases, she saw that we were being affected by them in a way that we weren't recognizing. And she pulled me aside one evening and wanted to warn me. She said, you know, that I'm observing you guys while you're working on these cases, and I see something very dark here that I don't think you're recognizing. And now she's putting on her Christian hat, talking to me at this point. And she says, when you're working in this realm, I think you should really have some protection to guard you against dark forces that might be involved. Well, as a New Age person, evil wasn't real. Evil was only a perspective.
Yeah.
You know, that's your perspective on things. Everything is relevant. And I told her, by the way, I said, I have protection. You know, I used to carry a little bag of crystals that each one had a different power that, you know, if you kept them in your presence, you were protected by. You can get these for 1995, you know. I used to carry these things, and I actually believed it, you know. And she says, no, that's not what I'm talking about. She says, I'm talking about real protection. I says, well, what are you talking about? And she says, it's in here. And she handed me a Bible, and I said, oh, no, no, that's got nothing to do with what I do. And she says, I think it does. And I said, no, it doesn't. I said, that's got nothing to do with this. And she says, but I think there's something in here you need to see. There is a protection in here you really need to let me share with you. And I said, no, I really don't think so. And she says, you know what? You tell everybody that you're the most open-minded, objective investigator there is. And I said, oh, I just been called.
Right.
I says, all right. Show me what you got. In that moment that she shared with me these scriptures, she shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ, including the scriptures that you read, covering where the authority comes from.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
And talking about the authority itself, that every knee shall bow in heaven, on the earth, and below the earth.
That's right.
And I thought, that is power. That is protection.
That's right.
That is what I want.
Amen.
And I made a profession of faith at that time. I heard the gospel. I grew up in the church with Christian parents until I was a senior in high school. And I turned away from the church and walked into the world. But I'd heard the gospel message many times, but I had never heard it like I did at that moment from a Christian with one foot in the New Age.
Wow.
Wow.
God used her at that moment in time to open my eyes and open my ears.
Praise the Lord.
And I became a believer. And that was in the middle of the week. That Saturday, I went and saw my mom's pastor. I didn't know what church to go to, so I figured this is something my mom would probably love to see.
Hmm.
So I went and talked to her pastor, and he knew who I was. And we talked before. And I told him, I said, I've made a profession of faith. And he says, will you do that right here for me? And I said, sure. And I said, I'd like to get baptized. And he says, I'll schedule you right in. And that following Sunday, I was baptized.
Mm.
And my mom and dad present, and my girlfriend present, and here I am, a new believer. Mm. My next question is, what's a Christian? Who am I?
Right.
What am I supposed to know? And hurry up and teach me. And one of my investigators, my closest lead investigator, who helped me found CE4, his name was Wes Clark, he was a believer but didn't understand what we were dealing with at the time. And then there's a lot of Christians that still have their foot questioning, you know, about is there life out there? Could there be? Did God make it? And this is where he was at the time. And he never pushed his Christianity in me either. He enjoyed working with me as an investigator. And he was thrilled that I came to Jesus Christ. And I told him, I said, you know, I'd like to learn as much as I can. I'm an investigator. I want to know what this Christianity is. And a friend of his, Wes, worked at the Space Center at the time on the shuttle program, and he had another buddy out there that worked with him on the shuttle program and who was a Christian. And he says, I got this Bible study course that we can go through. It's very fast. It's all video. We can sit in my house and watch it in my living room. Take about 2 weeks. We can do, you know, a couple hours a night. I thought, great, let's do it. And I had 2 weeks off. This was November that I made a profession of faith, where I worked for Sea Ray Boats at the time here in Merritt Island for years and years. I had 2 weeks off at Christmas. We'd have a facility shut down for Christmas time. I said, let's take that time and go through this course, which we did. And it was a very intense, powerful, fast course, Bible study on video. And the three of us would sit in his living room and Wes's buddy's living room every night, and we go through this. And then one night, something changed. We got to this introduction. The guy doing the speaking said, I want to introduce you to a topic called spiritual warfare. And I thought, wow, that sounds cool. What's spiritual warfare? You know? And
right.
He started out with a scripture out of Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm.
Mm.
And while he was saying that scripture, I had a vision in front of my face.
Wow.
And this vision was the alien gray.
Mm-hmm.
Right there while this is going on. It's like everything went silent around me. I could barely hear the audible voice of the man speaking in the back as he was finishing that scripture. It's like everything just became in an envelope. And all it was that vision in front of me of the alien gray, right in front of my face. And I watched it morph into the most horrific thing I had ever seen.
Mm.
And I said, stop that video. And they're like, what? And I said, stop that video. And they stopped
it.
And I said, I got to share with you guys what I've just seen. And I shared with them what I saw. And I said, I now know what we've been dealing with. I've just been shown. And I don't want to be part of this anymore. I said, Wes, my partner that I helped start CE4, my lead investigator, I said, Wes, we are not to be part of this. I'm done with this. And I'm going to walk away from the UFO investigator realm. This is not something Christians should be part of. And he went, wow. And he saw it too. He understood. It hit him when I said that. Because it was that scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. These aren't physical beings. These are the principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. This was the answer to what we're dealing with. And I knew that I knew that I knew at that moment. So we agreed to walk away from this. But it wasn't long. Within a week or so, I get this small, still voice. You're not done. And I'm going, oh, yes, I am. You know, and I've been told about temptation, and I thought this was the enemy. I said, oh, no, I'm done with this. You know, this is wrong. A little while later, the voice comes back. You're not done with this. And I said, Lord, is this you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I'm not done with this, what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard, you're to take the truth back to where you came from.
Hmm.
The truth, the gospel message. I said, God, if this is you, I can't take the gospel message back to where I came from. They do not believe, the New Age metaphysical realm does not believe that the Word of God is the inerrant word of the creator of the universe. I said, I can't share that with them. You have to give me something better than that. Well, nobody told me you're not supposed to talk to God like that. But I did. And I thought, okay, that'll settle that. And then a little while later, I get this, you already have it. What do you mean I already have it? You already have it. So I went back to my partner, Wes, and I told him, I said, Wes, you're going to think I'm nuts. But we have something that we can take back the truth to prove this, prove what he showed me in this vision. We have not just scripture, because we know they won't accept scripture, but we have something, and I don't know what it is. And the only thing it could be is something in one of these cases.
Right.
So we went back and we pulled up a couple cases, and one of them was from 6 months prior to me making a profession of faith.
Okay.
And we plugged this VHS tape in. You guys remember those, right?
Oh, sure.
And we plugged this VHS tape in. It was a 2-hour recorded conversation interview with a man in his living room about his experiences. And on this recording, we're listening to it. It's like we don't even remember it. And we're watching it, and then he starts telling us about this experience he had. And he mentioned that he was a new believer going to a small church in Christmas, Florida. And he had this atypical abduction experience. And during the experience, everything turned to a gray fog. He felt he was levitated in the air. Things turned really horrific. He said he felt like they had shoved a pole up his rectum.
Wow.
And in sheer panic and fear, as a new believer, he cries out, Jesus, 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 or Jesus, help me. And instantaneously, the experience stopped. He felt he was slammed down into the bed. His wife woke up and said, why are you jumping on the bed? And I said, Wes, that's unheard of.
Right.
I said, all the research we did from the other investigators, researchers on the abduction phenomena said that you cannot stop an abduction experience. Yet this man said he had. And it was the way that he stopped it that backed up the vision that I was given. Because he invokes the name and authority of Jesus Christ, what you talked about at the introduction to this show, to these entities, and they had to respond. And I thought, if this is real, this is huge. And I started contacting the top investigators in the realm. I can't tell you who I talked to because they asked for anonymity. I can tell you what they said. I always respect anonymity. I said, guys, I got to I got a case here I don't understand. I want to share with you. Each time they asked me, can we go off the record? I said, sure, we can go off the record. I said, just help me here on what we have. Each one agreed that they had come across similar cases in their research where people had either used the name and authority of Jesus Christ, had quoted scripture, had sang a hymn, or something to that extent, and experience had been stopped. And I said, excuse me, but why have we never read about this or heard about this from you guys? The answer I got with them was, we didn't know what to make of it. But that wasn't the only answer. I would have been fine with that answer. But the answer that followed was, we were afraid to go there because it might affect our credibility in the UFO realm. So they knew they had evidence of research that they were not disclosing. Excuse me, but what is that called?
Cover up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You got it.
Yeah.
We hear in this realm, government cover up, government cover up, government cover up. Listeners of this show, I'm telling you, these leading researchers are covering up information. People that we've been relying on for the truth for decades have been covering up because it doesn't fit the agenda.
I knew
because of this, they confirmed that there were other testimonies like this. And I shared with them that because of this, I believe this is a piece of the puzzle that must be shared. And I said, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to find these cases, and I'm going to document them. You know what they all said? They all said, please do, because we can't.
Wow.
In the 14 years that I've come to the truth and sharing this information, these testimonies, these particular researchers have never, ever come against me. But ones that I never did talk to have actually come against me violently.
I'm sure. Joe?
Well, I think the important thing to establish here is that when we hear the term cover-up, we are automatically and understandably so directed to think that it's an organized government cover-up. I think what Joe is establishing here is that it isn't anything that where you have orders from the top to cover this up. We're talking about private. Are we not talking about private institutions here covering up what is data that is data that needs to be exposed as an answer to what is going on? Let's establish first and foremost, is this a private cover-up, is this a government cover-up, or is it both?
It's a private cover-up.
Okay.
I don't think this is a government cover-up. I think it extends to be a little more than private after a while. I think there are independent secular researchers in the realm that once you put them all together, they all agree that they don't want this information out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they react to this very strongly. You know, I had the opportunity to speak at 2007 at the 60th anniversary in Roswell, and I got to be the director of the Roswell UFO conference myself in 2008, and I got to share this information there. And I tell you, it was like dropping a bomb on the UFO community. I finally put myself in a position where they had to listen, and it just exploded.
Well, sure. Let me ask this, Joe. you establish just there that a private cover-up where I guess there's not a public accountability as far as accurate information is involved. Is there any evidence to suggest that there is a government cover-up, whether it's federal, whether it's state, whether it's worldwide? Is there any information to suggest that there is a government worldwide cover-up with regards to UFO information?
Well, I do believe that because of not understanding what the phenomenon truly is, I do believe that there's probably people in our government who are withholding information from events because they don't understand the nature of it. And they probably feel that it could be harmful to national security, that, sure, they have a right to withhold information. I mean, we're not told everything because of, you know, national security issues. And
yeah.
I don't think we're privy to hold everything. I mean, if you got problems with the government keeping secrets and you think they're doing something wrong, you can fix that. You can vote the right people into office. You know, and you still have to trust them that they're going to do the right thing. So it's very important who you vote for, that you're voting for a person that can be trusted to do the right thing. It doesn't mean they have to give you all the information on what's happening, because some secrets have to be held because you're dealing with, you know, conflicts between countries, you know, and political regimes and theologies, you know, and ideologies. And, I see a reason for things being kept secret, and I have no problem with that. But, like, you know, as far as it from this perspective of it possibly being something so scary that they don't want to release the information, that it's much darker than they ever imagined. Secular researcher Nick Redfern just recently did a book, and he got into that, and he believes that through the research and the findings that, you know, from his book, that, the government does know that there's some major issues with this. And they don't know how to handle it, you know, so of course they don't release it. I mean, everybody in the UFO realm's pushing for disclosure. So all you hear is disclosure, disclosure, disclosure. And, I think if it ever came out what it really is, I think you'd wish you never knew.
Yeah.
But Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if let's say that this becomes common knowledge among UFO researchers that we're not talking about interstellar crafts and beings here. What we're talking about are fallen angels, about demons whose real motive in all this is to destroy people's lives. If this became knowledge, wouldn't this pretty much end UFO research as we know it today?
And that's why they're mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm probably the most hated man in the UFO realm. They love me on one side, but, you know, but because I'm very friendly to them and I respect them for their work. You know, I meet with them at the conferences. I meet, in Roswell, I've talked to them. I invited them to the 2008 conference, you know, and I honored their research that they've done. I just wanted to respect it, to be able to put my piece of the puzzle on the table. I told him, I said, you know, this is about putting a puzzle together. And you can't have an actual picture until all the pieces are put on the table together. And you can't just say, I don't want that piece, because it might change what I think the puzzle should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of accepting this will destroy people, what they believe, what they've always believed in.
Yeah.
And This scares them.
Yeah,
it's almost, Joe and Bill, like you spend an entire lifetime investigating something and you want to get to the truth of it, and someone comes along and says, here, very simply, here's what it is, and you look at the evidence and, well, there's what it is, and that's not what I expected to arrive at, and it's almost like shock. You go into a state of shock. I mean, you look as a UFO investigator, you go into a state of shock from a secular point of view that, well, here's what this guy Joe Jordan and others are saying about what UFO abductions and UFO phenomena are really all about. And you're left with, well, here's the evidence, and here's what I have to arrive at, and, well, where do I go from here? And it's, do I want to continue doing this when someone has presented this evidence, or do I continue the search? You know what I'm saying? It's,
sure.
It's a dilemma that is presented to the UFO field in general, that if they've heard what Joe is saying about what is actually going on in the UFO investigative field and the UFO phenomenon, if they've heard it, how are they reacting to it? And if they say, you know what, Joe Jordan, you know what, we believe what you're saying. It's like, well, then where do we go from here? It's like everything that we've invested in our lives is like come down to a very simple fact. And here it is. What do we do with it?
But it's not just that. Because it ties in to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
They now must become accountable.
Yes.
Right.
And that is not what they want.
That's
and you know what's fascinating is in 2010, I had 10 living testimonies. 2008, I had 10 living testimonies on stage at that Roswell UFO conference at the end of my talk. 10 living human beings that could testify that their lives have been changed and the experience is terminated by the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And I told them, and I do this at every talk, I lean on the podium and I say, do not trust Joe Jordan. Don't take my word for anything. Trust the evidence. Question the evidence. Touch the evidence. Smell the evidence. They're right here for you to test.
Sure.
They never talked to the evidence.
Wow.
They came against me. They came against my beliefs. They came against my theories. But they never touched the evidence or talked to it because they knew that they couldn't touch it. Because if they did, they would have to throw every testimony of every abduction experiencer out the door.
Sure. That's amazing. Joe, on your website, you have steps that you take people through when they go through this abduction experience. And after they're able to halt these experiences using the name of Christ. Could you just briefly tell us about what these steps are?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, when I first started into this, all I was doing was posting testimonies of people that have been able to stop the experience in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. That was our main intention, was to build a database that would be overwhelming to the world of evidence of case testimonies. The problem I ran into is as I started posting more and more and more testimonies, more and more people started reading them. And then the next thing you know, I had people coming to me and saying, I read these testimonies on your website where people have been able to stop this experience. I'm having these experiences, and my life is destroyed by it. Can you help me? I never expected it to go there. And I said, you know, because of working with so many people and understanding what they did, I do believe that I can help you by sharing with you what they went through. And this is what we started doing. This is when CE4 Research went from being an investigative research group to a mission and starting to help people. And the process we were using was very close to what I have on my website. And in one day, my wife came across this particular book. When she was done reading it, she handed it to me, and she says, I think you need to look at this book. I think this would be very beneficial to your ministry. So I read the book, and I got to this one part in there, and I went, oh, my. This is exactly what we've been taking these people through to help them, but we never wrote it down. We just knew what we were doing based on experience working with other people and what worked the best. But here this man had captured it and written it in his book. And it was from a book written by Dr. Henry W. Wright out of Pleasant Valley, Georgia. And the part in the book is called The 8 R's to Freedom. Mm-hmm. First of all, when these people come to me, I have to be able to share the evidence with them to show them that what they're going through is not what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when I can get them to that point, to understand, to get them to doubt what's really happening because of the overwhelming evidence I have that shows that it's not what they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what is called step one. There's 8 steps to these 8 R's. There's 8 R's. And that's the first one that they've accomplished is recognize. They recognize what this is, that it's a delusion, it's deception. And then at that point, I invite them to know Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Because he's the one, and they've already recognized this through my sharing with them the evidence, that it's the name and authority of Jesus Christ that stops this. And if they truly want hope, that they must choose this hope.
Mm.
So I invite them to take Jesus Christ into their life, and then we can proceed with this. I said, now that you recognize what that you've been deceived, that this has been a delusion, and you now have the creator of the universe as at your side.
Amen.
As protection, I said, let's go to the next step. The next step is responsibility. You must take responsibility for what you recognize. In other words, you must do something about it.
Yeah.
Number 3, repent. Repent to God for participating with what you recognized. Almost every instance that we ever come across, the people that have been involved in this experience, any type of paranormal experience that's affected them, is because they opened the door.
Yeah.
Either knowingly or unknowingly, or it's a generational door that's been opened that was brought on to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we repent to God for what you recognize, for being part of it, for opening that door, for allowing it to affect your life. You chose it, you repent for it. Number 4 is renounce. You must make what you recognize your enemy and renounce
it.
Number 5, and this is the most difficult one for everyone, remove it. Get rid of it. Once and for all. And this is where I have the most trouble helping people get through this one. Because this means turning away from all of your investigating, all of your research, all of your web search, all of your everything that you've been doing trying to find answers.
Yeah.
And take that time, separate yourself from all of this so you can build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through his word and through fellowship with other believers. Because this is like, let me give you an example. When I do a youth talk, I try to make sure I'm near a doorway. And I'll open the door and I'll say, "What's this, guys?" And they'll go, "Well, that's an open door." I'll say, "Okay," and I'll slam it shut. And I'll say, "What's that?" And I say, "That's a closed door." I said, "Very good." And then I'll open it and close it to where just my little pinky finger's in it. I said, "Now, what's that?"
Mm-hmm.
And one little smart guy will pop up and go, "That's still an open door." And I'm going, "You're absolutely right." And this is the danger on helping people get free, is the enemy wants to keep that door cracked open.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You've got to shut this door. Number six says resist. When it tries to come back, resist it. Why does it say when it tries to come back, resist it? Because these entities will still try to affect your life. This is part of spiritual warfare.
This
is something that's going to happen until Christ takes us out of here. We're involved in this warfare.
Amen.
How do you resist it? When an attack comes on, you recognize it, you take responsibility, you repent for allowing it to happen, then you go right back to the 8 R's again. This is fascinating little 8 R's. Number seven, rejoice. Give God thanks for setting you free.
Hallelujah.
Well, see, this one's puzzling for some of the people because it says, well, if they come back, which it says they will, then how are you free? I said the freedom comes through having Christ at your side.
That's right.
When these attacks happen, compared to that not having him there like you dealt with before.
Amen.
That's the freedom. The freedom to claim that authority that you guys spoke about in Scripture to overpower these enemies. That's the freedom. The last one, major importance here, and this is where my ministry comes in. Restore. Help somebody else get free. And how do you do that? By sharing your testimony of victory and hope. And that's what I post on my website. I have right at 100 testimonies up there right now, publicly, written and audio, so you can hear the people tell their stories themselves of victory through Jesus Christ, victory through the name and authority of Jesus Christ over this experience. And it's not just the abduction experience. It's through anything of the occult, metaphysical, new age, paranormal, psychic, any of that can be defeated by claiming the name and authority of Jesus Christ over it. I've worked with over 400 testimonies in the past 14 years. I've had the privilege of being able to post 100 of them on the website as evidence to the world, the only evidence in the world that shows the true nature of these entities behind the abduction experience. There is no other evidence. Well, I take it back. There's one other evidence. And my partner, Guy Malone, shares that evidence. We do a 1-2 punch talk now. The talk that he does deals with the messages that these entities bring.
Yeah.
That these people get to hear. And it's a false gospel. And Scripture tells us, beware, if any man or any angel brings you a gospel other than the one given.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah. They are these entities. This is the purpose of this whole phenomenon. These entities are evangelizing humanity with a false gospel.
That's so
true. This is their purpose. Their purpose is to take our eyes away from the one true God.
Amen.
Because the message that he shares, Guy shares in his talks, that these entities bring, is that it's always anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christianity, anti-Bible, and anti-creation.
Mm.
So there's the other piece of the evidence.
Joe, could you take a minute and give your website information out for anyone who is listening live? Or we experience an enormous amount of downloads of the podcast. Someone who will hear this somewhere down the road. Could you give out your contact information?
Yeah, the website address is www.ce4research.com. Very simple. ce4research.com. And you go to the contact button on the left side, and it has my Skype number that you can contact me and leave a voicemail. And it also has an email address that you can contact us, stopalienabduction@gmail.com. And we have people that are answering. I do answer the voicemails. I'll return them. And we do answer the emails. It has an auto response that gives you certain information that we want you to review, you know, before we further contact. Because a lot of people, they don't take the time to read everything that's on the website. There's a wealth of information there. And a lot of the questions that they have are right there on the website. We have a powerful frequently asked question page. We have an article section with powerful articles that will answer a lot of their questions. And then there's the testimonies themselves. I mean, if you want to try and go through all of 100 testimonies to see the evidence, I mean, that alone can take you a while. You know, so we hope you take time to go through the website. There's videos embedded in the website now. Our whole conference from this past year, 2010, in Roswell, the War of the Worlds, that conference, the whole thing is up there, free for you to watch. And it's probably the most powerful piece of information that we've put together. It was myself, Guy Malone, and Mike Tatar. And everything in a nutshell, right to the point, is right there in that entire conference for you to watch for free. And you can share with others.
That's awesome.
Bill, one of the things that has impressed me during this interview is that Satan has disguised himself in so many different forms, and one of his most deceptive forms is that of the UFO / alien encounter. And we, in this interview with Joe, have heard so much evidence to the effect that this is not extraterrestrial, this is demonic. We need another interview with Joe, if Joe is willing to do that, and I don't want to put him on the spot right now.
Oh, no, I'm willing. Looking at the questions that you sent me, we've only touched the iceberg.
Exactly.
There is so much more here to cover.
Yeah,
and that's really the reason I said what I just said, is that we have so many areas that we didn't go into. We kind of were very topical tonight, and that's fine. But I think the foundation of what we do at Answers for the Paranormal is really to get to evidence that you can really digest and look at and say that I really got to take a look at this. It's not where, well, you know, I heard this and I heard that, and it's kind of what I've heard before, and it really didn't go into detail. What we really like to do, and we really weren't able to get into tonight because it was kind of because the UFO phenomenon is so widespread and is so prevalent that it has been touched on in so many different ways that one of the traps that you can fall into is to let's do this the same way that everybody else has done it with the UFO phenomenon. But we really wanted to get your insights into what MUFON is, what the CE4 research group is, and kind of go from there. And what we found tonight is that there is so much to talk about. There is so much evidence, and there is so much that we can get into that it really is going to take more than just tonight. And tonight we've heard so much that anyone who's listening has to come away with thinking, man, I need to hear more about this. I just can't get enough of this. Because let's face it, UFO phenomenon, whether someone wants to admit it or not, is something that we all have thought about in our lives. We all have wondered, what's beyond the stars? I mean, we live on this planet Earth. There are so many planets out there. We live in this universe, and science has told us this, and science has given us this information. Why should we trust science? What are the questions that are out there? And it's one of the things that makes us human beings is our, as I started the broadcast, is why? Well, why are we, why do we think that we're alone in this universe? Are we alone in this universe? And what is the evidence that we are alone in this universe? And if not, tell me what the truth is. And I think that we've touched the surface briefly on what the truth is. I think that there are so many avenues and roads that we can go down to really establish that what is really going on with what is perceived to be alien intervention in our world, and how we can answer that with biblical truth.
Amen.
There is just so much to cover here. I mean, we didn't even get into that aspect of it as could there be other life out there. The one thing I can end this show with is the life that the experiences that people are having is not from out there.
Mm-hmm.
These are not extraterrestrials from other civilizations, other planets, other galaxies, other stars. So it's almost apples and oranges when that you ask that question. Are we alone in the universe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Scripture tells us we're not alone in the universe. Scripture tells us there's a host of heaven.
That's right. That's right.
But that doesn't mean that they're extraterrestrial.
That's right.
But what we're dealing with here is not from out there.
Mm.
And the secular world was already starting to touch on this. When I did that conference in Roswell in 2008, I was fascinated that speaker after speaker after speaker leading up to my talk was getting away from the extraterrestrial biological entity theory. They were all hinting toward an interdimensional being.
Okay.
You know, that's only one step away from saying a spiritual being.
That's right.
Because to us as believers, there's only two dimensions. There's our physical dimension, and then there's the spiritual dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence that we have come across in over the decade plus that we've been doing this research shows that this is an interdimensional being, a spiritual being, a demonic spiritual being.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Bill? As the secular world likes to call it, that is a teaser for the next show with Joe. And it sounds to me like Joe is very willing to come on again and to
get absolutely
and to get more into the meat of this subject, it is, without a doubt, it's one of the most fascinating subjects that mankind has ever addressed and will ever address. And I mean, I think that we're all in agreement that the evidence is overwhelming that what the Bible says about these things that we're addressing are absolutely true. And we will certainly look forward in the future to getting together with Joe and getting more into detail with regards to what these things are and where they're from and what the biblical evidence is for what we're saying are true. We can say anything we want, as any other sure. human being can say, but I always get back to what I say. Is, I mean, if you want to have an argument with me, that's fine, but all I'm telling you is what the Bible says about what these things are. So ultimately, your argument is what the Bible says about these things. So I really look forward to, at some point this year, getting back together with Joe and looking further into these details.
I'd love Absolutely. To. You guys, I got to commend you. You guys do a great tag team interview. And you know, leading into what you just said, it's got to be based in Scripture. You got to be able to back it up with Scripture.
Yep.
But also, at the same time, keep in mind that I told God that I can't take Scripture back to these people because they don't accept it. You've got to give me something better. And you got to have, if you're using Scripture, not only do you use Scripture as the evidence, but you have to have evidence for the Scripture that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
And that, sure. my friends, is definitely a teaser for your next show.
No question. No question.
Well, Joe, we've really been blessed by you tonight. I can't begin to thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule, which I know it is, and to come on with us tonight and, as we said, just scratch the surface on this topic. And we will be in contact with you in the near future for coming back on with us. And again, we just want to say thank you. We praise God for you, brother, and God bless you in this new year.
And thank you, guys. And I commend you for the work that you're doing on this show. You're absolutely honest in the way that you do this, and I definitely commend you on that.
Thank you, Joe, and praise the Lord.
Well, thank you, guys.
Good night,
Thanks,
Joe.
Good night.
Good night.
Bill?
Oh, Joe. You know, it's getting commonplace here on our shows where we get done speaking with a guest, and
we don't know what we don't know what to say.
Yeah, we almost don't know what to say after that. I mean, it's like, how do you follow that up? You know.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
We're just blessed tonight. That's all I can say.
Let me just say this, Bill. Here's what I come away with tonight, impressed by. Joe has been a member of MUFON since 1993. He didn't just get into this field a couple years ago. He's not a recent member of MUFON where he can get caught up in the hysteria of it. He's been a member for 17 going on 18 years, and he founded CE4 in 1994. So you have a guy here who has a wealth of information and evidence to draw on and to bring to the program and to present as evidence as to what we're declaring is going on here. So you have a guy who has spent years in the field of his expertise and is able to sit back and look at the evidence. And we thank the Lord that he's brought him to the point where he knows what is going on here. But you know what? Even being brought to that point of understanding, it doesn't negate the evidence that that he, all of the people that he's interviewed in the field with MUFON and with CE4, the evidence is still what it is. It's just the perception of what the reality of that evidence is. And Joe has been involved. Yeah, he's been involved in it for so long that you can't just ignore what this man is saying. It's something that you have to, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to step back and say, wow, I've never thought of this before. I really have to start thinking about this in regards to my testimony for Jesus Christ, because this is something that is going on today. You can't ignore it with the information technology to the point where it is now, where you have all these outlets for information. UFO technology and UFO information is not going to recede. It's going to continue to increase. And for the person out there who is wondering about what are these things, what am I really looking at here? What? No one wants to be in the dark. Everyone wants to know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. Well, you listen to Joe Jordan and you go to his website, you look at the testimonies, you cannot, at the very least, you cannot come away and say, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy hasn't been in it long enough. He hasn't looked at enough cases. He doesn't have enough experience in this field. You can't come away with saying it. You have to look at the evidence that has been presented by MUFON, although they don't have a Christian perspective of what's going on, but certainly CE4 does. You can't come away with it and say that, well, these guys haven't done their homework. They've done their homework. Now it's up to you to look at the evidence and to what the individuals who are involved in that field are saying to you about that evidence. Mm-hmm. You need to look at that evidence and say, what is going on here? What's the evidence that they're presenting, and what's the evidence that the world is presenting?
Yeah. You know what I was just amazed at tonight, Joe, is as he was speaking and kind of taking us through his whole history of how he began and, you know, how he got to where he is right now. And, you know, a skeptic could say, well, you know, yeah, Christian, you know, of course he's going to say that. I mean, you know, what else is he left with? And, you know, and that, for that person, it might be valid to make that statement. But when you look at Joe and where he came from in, you know, the New Age philosophy and, it sounds like that he was deeply steeped in that. And to have a perspective on UFOs while he had that belief system, and then to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and into a totally different belief system, and now to have the perspective that he does, I mean, you just can't look at what he says and just say, just a Christian, you know, I don't want to hear what he has to say.
Right.
You know, as you said, you do need to seriously look at his investigating and the evidence that he has to present to people.
Yeah, and you can't say that, well, Joe, you haven't considered this, or Joe, you haven't considered that. And again, it's not really coming. It doesn't really come down to what we want to decide, what we want to think that we can establish as truth. What is the truth of what is going on here?
That's what it all comes down to.
What is your evidence to what is really going on here? And given that evidence, if I come to this conclusion, what does it mean for me as an individual? What decisions do I have to make? And as Joe said, in the New Age philosophy, if you come down to their beliefs, you are not accountable to anyone. You can believe what you want to believe, and you're accountable to no human being. You are part of a sorority. But when it comes to accepting biblical truth, you are accountable to the Lord God Almighty. You can no longer state, I believe this is true, and therefore it is true. No. Here's what's truth. look in the pages of Scripture. That's truth. You are accountable now to the one who created you. Because if you look in the Scriptures, you were created by the Lord God Almighty, and you are accountable to Him for your life. You are accountable to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot deny that when you look at Scripture. When you look at New Age philosophy, it's fuzzy at best. I don't think any one of them is going to dispel you from the New Age group for saying this or saying that. But as far as Christianity, you can't make up the rules. You can't make up truth because it has already been established by
That's
the
right.
Lord God Almighty. His nature is unchanging. He said in the Old Testament, when Moses asked, "Who shall I say to the Israelites who sent me? I am who I am." He is the great I am. He is unchanging. And therefore, He has established what is true and what is false. What is the truth and what is a lie? What is right and what is wrong? What is sin and what is not sin? No human being can take a stand against God and say, "Well, you're wrong about this or you're wrong about that." If you acknowledge what the Bible says about God is true, you'd be a fool to do that. So within those pages of Scripture, you will find what deception is in regards to the devil and how he perpetrates that deception in the forms of ghosts, poltergeists, UFO phenomenon. You'll find all of that in there as demonic deception. And again, we really didn't go into that in detail with Scripture and with conversation, but we really do look forward in this year of 2011 to really get into the details with Scripture and conversation on those Scriptures as to what we're really dealing with in all these different areas of the paranormal. And we're on the UFO series. We'll continue with that, so we look forward to that.
Yeah, amen. Well, Joe, you know, as we've talked before, we don't know who's going to listen to these shows.
Right.
And especially this show that we did tonight with Joe. You know, we have confidence that the Lord is going to lead people to these shows that need to hear the truth.
That's right.
And Joe, if there's someone who is going to be listening to this show that is involved in this type of phenomenon, who is experiencing these contact by supposed aliens,
yeah,
and is experiencing abductions and physical, real physical torment,
that's
and
right,
attack. Joe, could you just share with that listener the truth from God's word about how they can have victory over these attacks?
We started this evening with a scripture from Philippians 2, and we focused on 9 through 11. We saw that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. This simply means that Jesus Christ, and we talked about it earlier in Philippians, that Jesus Christ did not see it as robbery or something to hold on to or to grasp onto equality with God. He is God. He was God in the flesh. And as we talked about a little bit about earlier, we just finished celebrating Christmas. And the central theme of Christmas is Emmanuel. I don't want anyone to miss that. The central theme to Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. He came in the flesh to testify to the truth, to fulfill the law, he fulfilled the law to every point. He did not disobey the law at any point. He was perfect in his life. He did not sin once. And in light of this, whoever's listening has to ask themselves, what do I do with this person who this book that is called the Bible says that is God, claims is God in the flesh? He didn't grasp on to his rightfulness as God, as deity, as divinity, but he let it go. He let it go to become a servant in the form of a man. Why? Because he needed to identify with us. He needed to become that kinsman redeemer that I read about in Hebrews, who would identify with our temptations and with our weakness. He had to come in the flesh to do that. He couldn't do that as God, but he became flesh to identify with our weakness. And he humbled himself, even to the point of obedience to the cross. This is not the cross that any other man has borne. Roman crucifixion was commonplace at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. But there was no one else who was nailed to a cross at that time that Jesus was nailed to, who took upon himself the sins of the world. It was only the Son of God who could have done that. Why? Because he was perfect. The Word made flesh, the Word of God made flesh, who dwelt among us and lived the perfect sinless life in order that he could go to the cross without sin as that perfect sacrifice for sin. Not like the Israelites used to do once a year, the atonement made by imperfect priests once a year, but once and for all. That implies rest. The person who received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior by faith, trusting what the Scripture says about him, that our sins are paid for. You can't pay for them yourselves. Only he could have. And he did this when he paid the penalty for sin. He satisfied the wrath of God against sin. Only he could have done that. And so, in light of that, we can rest. You don't have to continue to work, continue to fulfill the law. Now, you're going to want to do that because you've been born again. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You want to do what's right. You want to live a godly life. You're not going to because you're still in the flesh. But you know what? The Scripture says we have an advocate that speaks on our behalf. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we have an advocate. We had an advocate when he died on the cross. And we have an advocate now that has ascended into the heavenly realms who speaks on our behalf. Because Satan is an accuser. And he will say, Joe has done this, Joe has done that, Bill has done this and that, and you're still going to forgive him? Well, we have an advocate that will always go back to the cross and say, Joe's sins were paid for, Bill's sins were paid for, once and for all. I don't have to ever wonder about my salvation. I can't go off and live as I want to live because that would raise questions as to my true salvation. I want to live for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to do what's right according to God's word. And the person who's been born again by God's Spirit is going to want to live like that. But don't let Satan deceive you. You can't lose your salvation because God said that he will never forsake us or leave us. Those who are his are sealed with the Holy Spirit. they will never be lost. And this is the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. So this is why the Philippians passage tonight is so critical to our understanding of who God is and what he's done for us, because he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. And he's worthy of the praise that we give him. He alone is worthy of that praise because he humbled himself to obedience, even obedience to the cross.
Yeah. Well, Joe, let's pray.
Okay.
Our God and Father, we give you praise and thanks for this great night that we had to have you come into our presence through your word. And Lord, by providing Joe Jordan to speak with us tonight,
yes,
about this UFO phenomena, who is behind it, Lord,
mm-hmm,
and exposing the deception of the enemy and his minions.
Mm.
And Father, as we learn tonight that there is so much in this UFO craze that is just so misunderstood, and
mm-hmm,
the deception runs so deep that it is keeping people in bondage from the truth.
Yes.
And Father, as Joe mm-hmm just shared with us from your word,
mm-hmm,
that truth, that light that comes through faith in Jesus Christ dispels that darkness.
Amen.
And Father, we pray now for someone who hears this show tonight, that you would draw them out of darkness and into light, that what they hear tonight in this show will be the very thing that takes them from the kingdom of Satan.
Mm.
It brings them into the kingdom of your dear Son.
Amen. Amen.
Through the shed blood of Christ and through his resurrection.
That's
and
right.
Through faith in that, they can have eternal life. Father, we pray yeah that for someone here tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, we look forward to the time that you will give us in the future to once again make contact with Joe Jordan and to,
mm-hmm,
as Joe said, get deeper into this whole discussion,
mm,
by entertaining your word, by meditating upon it.
Yes.
And by presenting the evidence through the lens of Scripture.
Mm. Amen.
Father, we so look forward to that.
Yes.
And as we go from tonight, Father, we just ask you that you would continue to bless our ministry, that you would draw people to the truth,
mm-hmm,
through interaction with our website, www.answersfortheparanormal.org,
mm,
and by making contact with us. And we just praise you for what you're doing, Father, and we'll continue to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Joe, I look forward to the next time when we're able to get together here on Blog Talk Radio and share the truth of Jesus Christ with the world that needs to hear it. Good night.
No greater joy. Amen. Good night.